Okay, Mbote Nabino. Remembers today, I say Mbote means hi in Lingala. So that's my first language I learned in Democratic Republic of Congo. So, some of you know me as Paul Ward, but I have a middle name. So I have, my middle name is Ngala Mulume. Ngala Mulume means a man. So I don't know why they give me a name, such a name as a man. Maybe because of what happens in this country. So I guess I have to pick that name or stay with that name forever. Even if, I don't know, whatever happens to this place. So I'll be showing us what I'll be doing in Democratic Republic of Congo. Ministries I've been doing with my parents, and now it's like something that I'll be doing. Like not being with my parents, under my parents, but be under the IFM. So Independent Faith Missions. That's a mission board are sending me to Democratic Republic of Congo to do ministry there. So just a short thing is, sort of my story. I'm adopted by an American family. So before then, my parents died when I was a toddler. I was just little. I don't know what age I was. So I had two young sisters and two old sisters and one young brother. So as they were, my parents were dead, they took us to an orphanage. And that orphanage, I don't know what to say much about it, but it was not a place. So when you heard orphanage, don't think of like what you see in the movies. Or don't think of, oh, it must be more like American. Well, this is an African orphanage. That means the person who's in charge of the orphanage, his family have to come first before the orphanage, before the children that are sent there. So through all those processes of being an orphanage, the Lord was able to guide me to get adopted and not in that orphanage. I was able to run away from that orphanage, and I found an orphanage named Elikia, means hope. So that's where I stayed in that orphanage for maybe 1 year or 2 years. And eventually, my mom's back there. That's where I call my mom. She rescued me from that place, and now they adopted me. So my dad's back in Congo now. He's a tent maker, but he's also a missionary. So he's in Congo. He could have come, but his work just didn't permit him to come this way. So I'm glad that also in Christ we're adopted in Christ. So now I'll be showing to you guys what I'll be doing in Congo. What type of people I want to reach? I want to reach out to pretty much do with people of young people. Mostly would be the youth. So when I go back to Congo, a lot of times I'll come here, present what I've been doing in Congo, go to the villages, and be in the city. But I'm a city kid. So a lot of times when I go to the villages, it doesn't quite fit with me. That's because of what they eat, what they drink. It's not something I quite enjoy in that place. So basically, I want to reach out to the kid, to the youth. That is my burden. And just to help them to understand the idea of serving in the church. That means if you are baptized in that church, you have to serve in that church. You have to understand the ministry of the local church. A lot of times we have teens in the church I go to. They're not really willing to put the time into working with the church. They just want to do whatever. They come to the pew and sit on the bench, and after that, they're out. But this time, when I went back to Congo, the youth group in that church that I go to, that is Église Libre de Baptiste du Congo, it's in Massina. So the youth was like, you know what, we want to get something done in this church. We want to do DVBS. And they did it. But they need some missionary help just to guide them and what stories they want to teach. So I'll be showing some pictures here of what type of ministries I'll be doing in Congo. What's it going forward? Oh, down. So that's the Congo I'm from, the yellow one you see. There's two Congo, as you can see. I'm from the big one, not a small one. So the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, was colonized by Belgium. And the yellow Congo was colonized by France. So they both do speak French. Congo, I believe, has about 55 5 million people just in Kinshasa, the main capital city of Kinshasa, which would be about right here, like right in the center. Sorry, man, I don't know why I'm shaking. But right there, that's where Kinshasa would be. And so ministry in Kinshasa to the capital city of Congo. And I tell you, when you see those type of cars, how much load people can put in those vehicles, you'd be amazed. Those cars can go for miles without loads. And those drivers, they know how to do the mechanic. They know where everything is. So one of the ministries I'll be doing will be sharing the Bible to the local people, to the local police of Kinshasa. I think this was a couple years ago. My parents and my uncle, pretty much missionaries with MAF missionaries, they were able to get some Bibles for the police of Kinshasa. This is how we make friends with police, because police there are not kind. When they stop you, that means money have to come out. For some reason, when my mom drives, they give her trouble because of her skin. So they'll be like, you're white. Let me see if I'll make some money from you. My dad drives, they do still give him trouble, even if he's white. It's like, you're still a man, we have to give you some trouble. But when I'm driving, they don't give me any problem because they know, well, he might be a Congolese, but yeah. So it's always good to make up friends with the police, just in case you get in trouble. You can call them saying, hey, one of the guys stopped me here. I don't have what I was asking for. I didn't break the law. And I can tell many of their drivers in Congo, they do break laws. Instead of driving on their own lane, they'll be coming towards you when there's a traffic. So you have to avoid, you can't stop them. You just have to tell them, like, guy, you can't do this. And just let them go. Because if you're trying to stop them, you'll be causing more traffic. And if you have a white person, you stop another driver that is black, you pretty much will be yelled at, you know, be called all kind of names. So a lot of times it's good for me to be in this type of ministries. They won't look at my skin. I want to reach out to this type of police and just help them to understand the gospel more and how to get saved. So many of these police are Catholic. So they're more influenced. Catholic is the biggest religion in Congo. And Muslim and Mormons are coming there too, which is just a bit scary because they are quite a bit influencing young kids or young people to join them. Another ministry is with the youth in Puerto Congo. So a lot of times I will get some youth from our neighbors, play soccer with them. We go to American School of Kinshasa, and we will rent that place. But we will ask the permission if we can play soccer there. And we'll play soccer with them. And at the same time, halftime, right, share the word with them. And many of them do ask questions. And one of them asked me this question was, if I can remember right, what if I'm praying to God, but I don't trust God? Like, I'm praying, but I don't trust God. And one of the thing is, like, why are you praying for? Because you have to trust him if you're praying about something. So this is the youth from the one right here. It's a youth from our church from Puerto Congo church, and this is one of the times they came over to my parents' house, and we shared the word with them. And at the same time, they asked for the idea of starting our DVBS. And the other side is the neighbor friends I've made, and they love playing soccer. So in Congo, if you want to get people around, just grab a soccer ball, throw it up in the air. It's like bees coming towards honey. It's like, oh, okay, now we can play. So that's another way I think it would be good to attract people. It's like throughout sports, they love that. They love soccer. You can get so many people just through that. So when I go to villages, that's what I'll be doing. But in capital cities, reaching them again in that way, at the same time inviting them to church, and telling them, like, to get really involved into the churches. Because there's also another problem in Congo. The youth might want to serve in the church. But the deacons and the old people might be like, no, I just want my position here, and I'm not going to give it away with another young person. So that's kind of hard for a young person, you know, be like, well, I want to serve the church. oh, I want to play music in the church, but, you know, you can get time off. They'd be like, no. They feel like if you let the kid do it, you know, they won't be able to do it anymore. But that's not true, because that helps the church move forward. And another one, this is David Bias, they did at Puto Kongo Church. This is the first day. We didn't have this much kid. This is like that much kid the first day. The third day, we count well, it's 100 kids. For some reason, parents will send even 5 years old kid who like, hey, go to that church. Go join the church there, and just, you know, for 3 days of DVBS, they all love it. The parents will even come say thank you because you give us free time to do things that we usually don't do. So this is the church I go to, Puerto Congo. And we have, this is one of the members of church. I was teaching them, like, some kids how to obey your parents. And some kids are like, well, what if I have to carry 2 jugs of water? You know, that's very heavy. And they're like, well, you still have to do it because it says it. Well, what if I'm trying to have to carry 2 jugs of water, but my brother there is playing? So I just have to obey your parents because they told you to do so. But it's just such a good idea to tell them to obey the Lord first and obey your parents and obey those who are older than you. Because that is what makes you a good person. First, we have to obey the Lord. That means we have to follow him every time he sent you. And another one is the youth leading DBS. We have Jetu. She's one of the youth at the church I go to. And this is how we get into the classrooms. So this property is what my parents, I think, was it you guys bought? So they bought it, and they allowed the church to build schools in there, and also the church to do whatever they want to do with it. But the maintenance of the place need to be maintained, because the youth would not do it. The members of the church would not do it. We have few ladies who are very strong. Like every morning before the church starts, they'll be there cleaning the church. And if the youth can be doing that, it would be really nice to wake up that early, because some of them live quite far away. And this is Interior Ministries. This will be another place I'll be going. First, I was in Kinshasa, in the capital city. Now, this will be like in the village where I'll be reaching out to the youth. In village life, though, is very different. So many of people in village or interior, they live in fear of witchcraft. Like, they'll be like, oh, no, what if, you know, the witchcraft is like the biggest thing in there. They're always afraid of it. Like if, as an example, one of their relative dies, they will say, no, that person died because of witchcraft, because someone in our family killed that person. And they were trying to do everything to find who killed their relative, which is very sad, because they have to understand death is something God did not create beginning. It is sin that the one brought death. So for me, it's to reach them through that, saying it's not you, the one killed the person, or your relative killed the person. It is sin. Because if you're thinking, oh, someone killed it, no. And I had a friend in one of the villages I go to, Mbongo. His name is Seleo. He was part of our church in that, but eventually he changed the church. He went to Smoky Bang Church. In that church, they told him, like, before you can eat anything, you have to worship ancestors. You have to give something to ancestors. So he would take whatever food he was going to eat, half of that would put on the ground and pray to his ancestors, thank his ancestors. I'm like, no, that is wrong. You're supposed to pray to God, not to your ancestors. Yes, for sure, yeah, the tree grew up and you got the fruit from that, but it's not your ancestors the one made the tree. It's God the one made it. So this was one of the privileges I had to go to to a trip to one of the villages in Congo. And this was the most strong church I ever seen in Congo. The church came together and it chose a pastor. Because the old pastor, David, had to leave Kinshasa. I mean, he had to leave this village to go to Kinshasa, to stay in Kinshasa, because he wanted his mom to go with him. And his replacements, it did the vote. All the members did the vote. I believe it was like 33 members voted yes for him. And was it 33, mom? Was it 50-something? So that's Pastor Joel. That's the pastor they chose for that, for this church in the village. So we had to take a plane, like a small MAF plane, to reach this place. And the youth in this place, though, are very small. They know how to work in the church. But it's someone need there to encourage them to understand, hey, you have to get, you know, more people in this by telling people the word of God. So we had other youth in this church. One of them learned how to play the keyboard. He played for the church. We have others who lead songs, and we have others who are very communicable. They can communicate with people and send messages to people saying, hey, we're going to have a special event. So when we came to this village, I taught the youth the importance of obedience, because a lot of them are not like some of us here. So a lot of them, and taught also in purity, because a lot of these kids or youth in the village, they don't go through the process of marriage, like some of us were wanting to get married, or some of us who got married. All they're looking for is like, hey, just find a guy, and that's it. And so they end up being pregnant, and the guy does have to take care of the baby. So it's very hard for the youth there in some villages. Even the city, they were still there in the city. They were, I mean, it's not something very good. So I'm trying to reach out to them, tell them, listen, you have to understand. You have to wait, go through the process of marriage that explains the Bible. And I had a great time showing them a Jesus film, and also preached to them the idea of Moses being sent by God. He didn't have anything. The only thing he had in his hand was the staff. And I tell them, for us Christians, we have a Bible that we need to reach out to others to call them out of the sinful life and come to Christ. And I can tell you, it was very hot that day. You will sweat. And with that tin roof, it even makes it harder. And one of the ways I reach out to the youth is soccer. Soccer is one of the sports, biggest sports in pretty much in the world. I don't know how American football, but soccer is the first sport, and everybody in the village knows how to play soccer. Because soccer, you can play by yourself. You can just kick the ball if you're tired. But football, you can't really toss it that much. So we reach out to this youth, and they have a little bit of problems with, like, the sinful life, drinking problem. So they have a palm, like, behind them you can see a palm tree, all these palm trees. In palm trees, you can create what they call palm wine. So they can drunk through, they, you can get drunk from that. So they will make those and just drink it and just waste up their life pretty much and saying that's how their ancestors did it and that's how they would do it. So that's this ministry reaching out to the boys' center, the center that where I was adopted in, the where I came from. So this is like the young ones we have right now. And the names I do not know. But some of here I can name. Because when I was little, or when I was in the orphanage, some of these didn't even come. They weren't there yet. So this side here, there were, when they came to the orphanage, they were about the same age as this one here. So many of them will soon be going to high school. So, and few of them already been graduated from high school. So this here is the group that I was with when I was in the orphanage. and we already grew up. And this was the second group. So in the orphanage there, they teach them, okay? Teach them first how to obey the Lord. They teach them the word of God. And they all can pretty much read the Bible. And when they reach the age of 18 and finish high school, they have to leave the center and find the way of living. So Montana right here, he's one of my friend. My mom called him his son. I'm like, I'm the only one. So Montana, he is, he got a job driving for someone who works for the American Embassy, which is a blessing because that helps him. And you have Jean here, John, in French is Jean. He is trying to become a pastor in a church. And you can see that many of these guys that I grew up with are wanting to serve the Lord. And you have Robbie way behind there. Robbie, he plays guitar in a church. So the church that I go to, he plays guitar. Before he started coming to church, his life was a mess. Like he didn't want to come to church. He didn't want to do this and that. But eventually the Lord helped him. He came to know the Lord. And now he comes to church almost every day and get ready to set up for the music. And now we have Glody, who works with my mom. We have Gino. Just pray for him. He really has a hard time. We're not sure if he's really saved. But he loves just, you know, hanging around with us. And when the boys were trying to create a sub thing, because they had problems with waters, Gino came to help them. And we have Ghislaine. He's married. He has one kid. And we have Jean C here. He has three, almost four. And Jean C is one of those amazing kids, too. He messed up his life, but now he's back in track. As you can see here, we have another group that were, they left, I think it was last year, because they were done with high school. And so now we have Gabi. He helps with the boys. He's like a dorm dad for the boys. We have Eli, who will cook for the boys. And we have Abel. He loves guitar. He loves the music. I mean, this kid, when he plays guitar, he can play. He knows how to play. And he can pick up any song and play the guitar with. But I feel like the music of that has taken the wrong place. So he has, he needs a lot of prayers. He got talents, but he needs to use it for the Lord. And we got here, Grady. See, I'm keeping forgetting names. Grady. He just finished his seminary, and he was doing, he preached one of the time at the church. And it was real nice what he did preach on. And we got, Mikael. And he comes to church pretty much every day. And he, if there's an event to help around, he will help at church. So just good to reach out to this young, to old boys that were once in the boys' center. And now they have gone in their own way. But also to show them, like, hey, it's not just over. You have to serve the Lord to every place you go. So just pray for those guys. And especially the young ones, this group here. Because this group are the smart ones. If you see what they can do, it's very, very amazing. For sure, the little ones here, they can't read French quite yet, but these guys can read French pretty good. And it's just a good way to show them. And a lot of times when we have them over, we will put the Bible on the tables. If you want Lingala Bible, you get Lingala Bible. If you want a French Bible, you get French Bible. But many of them will go towards the French, because French is a lot easier to read than Lingala. Even though they grew up speaking Lingala, but reading Lingala, it is hard. So it's really good to see where the Lord is leading me to reach out to these young people. And I'm praying for the future for this to be to reach out more to young people here in America. But I know here in America it's a bit hard. Because we have tried here with the youth group here, their mind is in different things. But it's same with Congo too. It's not just here in America. In Congo, the youth want to do whatever they want. If you tell them, like, come to church, or your church is too boring, that's the word they use. Or Eglise Nabino say akolemba. Kolemba means it's too boring. So, it's going back to this one here. Yeah, so a lot of times the youth want the music that makes her grow and dance. So they want to dance, they want to do this and that. So we have our neighbor church. They can put a music very loud. And my dad has to knock to the gates, like, please put the volume down, guys. This is just too loud. But we don't judge them. All we do is just tell them, like, hey, how you guys worship is not how we worship. Some of the youth from that church, one time they came to me, they're like, but how come you guys don't like us? I'm like, I didn't say that. They're like, but you guys act like you guys don't like us. They're like, no, we just have a difference in belief. Our doctrine is different than your doctrine. So my doctrine is saying is to praise the Lord, not just to praise my own body. And those are the problem that the prosperity gospel. It's the biggest one in Congo. It gives false promise, false ideas to the youth, so the youth will go there and be like, yay, I'm having a great time. So it's like one of the, at that church, our neighbor church, one of the pastors says, I have a vision. And I was just like, you know, outside listening to him, like, okay. He says, there's a vision. There are at least 20 people here that the Lord has shown me. They're going to put $20 in the offering. And I was just like, $20 in the offering? This is like a poorest country, right? It's like robbing them. And he says, I have another vision. The Lord has promised me there's going to be 5 people here going to put $100 for the offering. And I was like, a vision. So a lot of these people call themselves prophets, call themselves men of God, but what they do is not men of God things. So prosperity gospel is what reaches out to young kids, gives false promises. Because young kids are really wanting to do something. They're done with high school, done with college, there's no job, and they're like, who will show me the truth? So when they hear like a preacher preaching says, hey, come here, I'll give you marriage, I'll show you what kind of guy you should marry. Or I'll show you how you can get an American visa or get a European visa because they're trying to get out of the country. And of course, that's how they reach out to the young kid, to the young people, and they're saying, yeah, I'll go to that church for that reason. I'm like, well, that's not true, though. Because if you're trying to go to that church, it's because of what he says, not because of the word of God says, then you are going the wrong way. And they don't like saying, they don't like you telling, if you tell them the truth, they don't like it. They'd be like, what? You're trying to tell me what? I'm like, that's what I'm telling you. It's not, that's not the truth. If he wanted to be the salt and the light for the world, he wouldn't tell you that. He will point you first to Christ. He says, come to Christ, not to him. So that's one thing I want to reach out to the youth. And this group right here of youth, this one here, I'll say they're pretty much strong ones in the church of Gotokongo. Because they didn't wait for anybody. Before that, we had a big youth group. We had at least 20. But some of them have left because of problems. Now we have this one's left here, and they are willing to reach out to young ones. And we have Joseph right here. He teaches kindergartens from grade 1 to 5th grade. He teaches Sunday school. And we have Josephine. She teaches from 6th grade to 8th grade. And we have Montana, who's now teaching pretty much high school. So each Sunday he will be there teaching them. Montana was going to the story of Jonah, and it was so good that the kids were asking questions like, well, couldn't God just, you know, turn the boats around? so that he can go to Nineveh? Well, he could have done it, but he wanted Jonah to learn the importance of obedience. He wanted Jonah to realize what he did. Because if he turned the boat around without waves, without water, he could have done it. But he decided to do what? To make sure that Jonah understands that God is powerful. So that's a group who I'll probably be working with, because they are willing to reach out to the young ones. So I think that's what I have for you guys today. Thanks, Pastor. Oh, yeah. Any questions? Simple questions? If you want to know what my favorite food is, I'll tell you. It's not pizza. It's not a hamburger. It's fufu and pondering chicken. Some of you are like, what is that? It's one of those dishes I love to eat in Congo. As of right now, is to be where they are. But eventually, I feel like the Lord might lead me to a different place. Yeah. In the city of Kings? 15. 15. Not 55. Yeah, so. Yeah. They count the houses. That's what they do. And, yeah, in my backyard, we do not have snakes or elephants. So, I'll just tell you that I live in the city. So, just like you, you might see a tiny snake, but don't worry about that. You can just kick it and it will run away. Because I had those questions, but like, do you have elephants in the backyard? I'm like, no. What about lions? No. I live in the city. I'm from a city, so going to the interior, seeing spiders about this big, it's like, you know what? That's not my thing. And getting, so young people in the village, they do not know how to hunt. So we went to Ambongo, to a village, where at night we were sleeping in our tent, and suddenly we heard bunch of people crying and walking. So kind of ask questions like, what's happened? What happened? They're like, well, these young kids were going, young, pretty much in the teens, they went hunting. They set a trap and they got a leopard. But for some reason, they've been shooting arrows and they ran out of the arrows because they were afraid. So one of them went to touch it and the leopard just grabbed it right here and pretty much tore the whole skin of his head off. So they're walking that kid to whatever hospital they can. Don't think of a hospital like here. You will call 911 that you will never get a response. So you just have to do your best to get that kid to his house or to whatever hospital is. So it's very, sometimes in the village you will hear those stories. Or you go fishing, one kid went fishing at night and a snake bit him. And he just like, how would I go home? So then he started getting infected for that. And he couldn't walk. So he just sat there. The rain ran on him. I think a few days later, his parents were looking for him. So everybody went to look for him. And someone who just done his hunting, coming back, found him and asked him, what happened? He's like, oh, I was fishing and in a weight pack, I stepped on a snake and I got bit by a snake. And his leg was like huge. So, but he didn't die through that. Now he's better, but he still has to go to process of, how to learn to walk again, because that leg has been sitting there. But it is what happens. And it's not something to get scared of, because a lot of times people tell stories like this and be afraid, like, oh, don't go to those places, because, what if you get bit by a snake? I'm like, well, Paul was bit by a snake, he didn't die, so I hope I don't die too. So yeah.